Good morning, everybody, and thank you for being here, and thank you to Atlanta to have a nice sunny day for our guests from Seattle. So they don't always see the sun there, so we're thankful for that. It's been 5 weeks since we last got together, and we've been obviously very active in interviewing head coach candidates, and I will tell you there was a very deep talent pool this year of head coach candidates, and the process was both very educational and challenging for us as we went through it. And I want to thank our internal search team for their work, Rich, Thomas, Scott, and Kim, and Jed Hughes from Korn Ferry, and Joe Banner, who volunteered his time and his experience as needed. All of these people were diligent and committed to a very thoughtful process and a final decision, and I valued their views and their support. Our search was focused and it was thorough. We considered former head coaches. We considered college coaches, coordinators. Had lengthy interviews with our top seven candidates discussing a very wide variety of topics, as you might expect. And we appreciate their time and in preparation. Each candidate invested in the meeting and did an outstanding job in their own regard. And I would say that based on the quality of these candidates, I believe many of the new head coaches this year will be very successful in their new roles. We ended the search with no bias in terms of an offense or a defense experience base. We wanted a coach who would provide the leadership in all three phases of the game and add additional leadership to our building and our franchise. We told you from the outset we were looking for a leader with a clear vision for success, someone who had great skills in terms of being a wonderful motivator, someone who was bright and decisive, someone who was innovative and flexible, and somebody who would be a great fit, cultural fit, for the franchise and really for all of our businesses. And we found that in Dan Quinn, and for that reason he became our top choice. We felt so strongly that he was the best coach for us that we stayed patient, very patient, through the playoffs and Super Bowl, and rather than feel compelled to make a quick decision in a different direction. With 21 years of coaching experience, 12 in the NFL, Dan has a deep and a diverse history in football, having worked with some of football's best, including Steve Mariucci and Bill Walsh, Nick Saban and Pete Carroll. In our two meetings with Dan, he displayed a definitive plan for our football team and his description of what it would take to win, an air of confidence, yet a strong sense of humility as well, and a desire to work in a collaborative way across the building. He's a coach, an individual who's pulled the best out of every player he coaches, designing and playing to their strengths and teaching them how to be better at what they're doing. He's smart, he's decisive, utilizing what he's experienced over the years, both good and bad, and to bring and develop his own unique approach to coaching. And he has a real desire to look for ways to do it better, to get better, to continue to push to a higher standard. The expression, good is the enemy of great, may have started with Dan Quinn. Dan's leadership has produced some of the league's top defenses, most notably in 2013 and 14 with the Seahawks. In those 2 years, Seattle allowed just 271 yards per game, 15 points per game, held opponents to 91 rushing yards per game, and won the Super Bowl in 2013. Dan also has a firm grasp on his offensive philosophy, which I'm sure he'll spell out and be asked about. He's putting together a coaching staff that reflects his approach to leadership, teaching, and creating a high-energy environment, and he has well-thought-out ideas regarding how to build a roster. I want to give you plenty of time to get to know Dan and ask him lots of questions, which I'm sure you will, but I want to also take just a few short minutes to expand on the changes and responsibilities that we announced a few weeks ago, and here's some context for that. As we planned for hiring a new head coach, we spent a good amount of time talking through areas where we could improve our processes and our decision-making and to maximize the resources within our football operations. We also considered the best practices and models at other clubs, and we decided that ideally we would find a head coach that had both the capacity and the desire, and those are two distinct attributes, to control the 53 and 46-man rosters as well as the practice squad. We discussed that opportunity with all of the candidates, but we were not in a position to publicly clarify the questions regarding authority structure until we had a head coach contract completed, which didn't happen until Monday of this week. We were very fortunate to find in Dan a head coach with strong references for evaluating talent, as well as a strong desire to be highly engaged in building the roster. I said this over the weekend in a couple of interviews at the Super Bowl, but I think it's worth repeating. Words like power and final say, control, are not terms that we like to use in how we operate our Falcons or any of our other businesses. Our approach has always been one of processes, collaboration, and partnership, and it will stay that way, and it's an approach that that is very attractive to Coach Quinn. Going forward, Thomas and Dan, along with their staffs, will collaborate fully in evaluating our roster and working on free agency and the draft, as well as other player matters related to building the roster. To be specific, Thomas, as a general manager, will have final authority over free agents and draft picks. Scott now has the responsibility for running free agency and the draft, which is a great use of his time and his talents, and he still continues to report directly to Thomas. Dan will have final authority over the 53-46-man rosters and the practice squad. Again, the word final is not one that I would choose to use, and I don't think it's one that the coach would continue to use, but in order to legally understand what that means, we thought we'd spell it out. This structure is not unusual today in the National Football League. 10 other clubs work this way, including eight, including eight that have hired new head coaches since 2010. So it is a current trend. More importantly, this is about maximizing the capabilities of Thomas and Scott while adding Dan's unique strengths to the group. We have two accomplished leaders in Thomas and Scott. They have a long history of working together, a trust relationship, and they've received multiple recognitions for their individual work in the National Football League, including two Sporting News Executive of the Years each, in terms of their efforts. So we feel, combined with the head coach with a proven track record and talent evaluation, this trio is a strong combination and one that we will capitalize on behalf of the franchise. All three of these men look forward to working together, and I'm confident that their collective efforts will result in a strong roster in this season and in future seasons. I want to make it clear, with both Dan and Thomas are reporting to me, my role in terms of player decisions will be unchanged. For 13 years, it's been zero. And for the next whatever number of years, it'll be continue to be zero. My involvement will continue to be to support and understand and not direct in terms of player decisions. This reporting structure is simply what we believe to be the best setup to help these men accomplish their individual and their collective roles. It's also more common in the league today. 13 clubs now have the same structure, including four of the seven new coaches who were hired this year. Again, it's a current trend. So I want to close by thanking Rick Smith, who's with us today, and his wife, Julie, for being here. Thank you for your help in working on Dan's contract and your efforts in his behalf and behalf of our franchise. And now I'm very pleased to introduce Dan Quinn and welcome his wife, Stacy, sitting in the front row as well, to Atlanta. Thank you.
I'm so fired up to be here with you guys today. First off, I'd like to thank Mr. Blank, Thomas Dimitroff, Rich McKay, and so many of the Falcons organization that waited through our Seahawks playoff run for me to have this opportunity to be here with you today. That's not an easy thing to do in this business. And for those guys to have that kind of conviction told me very clearly the type of leadership that's in place here, and one that I so wanted to be a part of. So for that, I thank you, and I can't thank you enough for waiting it out. They understood over the last month my sole focus had really been helping the Seahawks to play as well as we could during that playoff run. I owed that to Pete Carroll and to John Schneider, the players, the coaches, and the 12s there. I wouldn't be here today if it not for all of them. So, again, I appreciate you guys in terms of waiting, and I can't wait to build a similar championship environment right here in Atlanta. Special thanks to my family and friends, and especially my wife, Stacy, who's here today. Wouldn't be here without you today. So I appreciate all the love and support, and my advisor and friend, Rick Smith, here today, too. So I know we have an extremely passionate fan base here in Atlanta. And I want to know that the brand of football that we're going to play is going to be fast and physical. We're going to attack in every phase that we can do it. And then, most importantly, I would like you to know that the energy and the enthusiasm you bring to the Atlanta Falcons can be unmatched in terms of the energy I'll try to bring to you as your head football coach. It's an unbelievable opportunity, one I couldn't be more proud to be here and be here with you today. All sorts of challenges ahead, lots of hard work to do, but I can't wait to get started with all of you. And with that, I'll open it up to some questions.
Nature and just how complicated it was going through this process the second year in a row for you?
Well, fortunately for us, the league does provide an outlet where you can do it during a bye week. And so that was a huge advantage for me. I couldn't imagine trying to do that the night before a playoff game. So when you go through the bye, there's a few days. In fact, when we were playing Carolina, it could have been Detroit or Dallas or Carolina. So during that week, that was the time to do that. And I was fortunate I got a chance to talk to a number of clubs, and it was really clear. In fact, Stacy asked me the question, well, if they all worked out, what would you do? And it was really clear when I told her that night, this is the spot I'd like to be.
Hey, Darrell, can I ask a question just because the coach is not familiar with lots of you and many of us are, but can you just identify yourself to Coach Quinn when you ask your question, please? Okay, well, good. Okay. Well, you already did, and you're ahead of it. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
About the rugby tackling style,
sure.
How the fans are excited about that, and if you plan to bring it, and how will you all try to teach it and implement it?
We are. One of our goals here, we're going to try to be the best fundamental team in football, and that's a real challenge. And tackling and our ability to go after the ball and take care of it on offense, those are going to be some of the core tenets that we'll talk about. The rugby tackling really involves shoulder tackling, and it's a leverage tackling principle. So for us, not only is it safer, it's more effective. And so for us to do that, rugby has used, shoulder tackling for years. And maybe, I guess, about 2 years ago, people talked when we were trying to take the head out of the game. Well, some of the people said, well, it may not be as physical. And we said, that's absolutely not going to be the case. Just like a pitcher throws fastballs in the strike zone, we're going to try and absolutely hit people as hard as we can in the strike zone. So that shoulder tackling, the physical nature can still come through for sure.
com. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Arthur Blank talked about how you had a definitive plan. What is your definitive plan for building a defense, and what is your defensive philosophy?
Well, really, it starts with effort first, and that's always the thing that we'll talk about right at the forefront of it. From our effort and the way we attack and the style that we'll play will come from that. We want to be really aggressive in terms of the way we attack the football. So those two things in terms of our effort and the way we attack the ball will always be at the front of our conversations. Past that, we want to play as fast and physical as we can. For us to play that style, we won't have 1,000 different defenses. What we will do, it's not necessarily what we play, it's how we play it. And that style will be real clear to come across in terms of style and the attitude that we play. We'll try to best feature the players that we have, and that's one of the real things I'm looking forward to getting started with now is to better learn these guys here, and so we can now best feature them in the best way.
And just a quick follow-up to that, how much do you plan to still have your coordinator hat on in this defense?
Quite a bit. We're fortunate enough that we've hired some terrific guys to partner up with us, but that's certainly been my background as a defensive coach, so I'll stay involved in that side of the ball.
Dan, tonight's night of game here in Atlanta. Why now? I mean, you had other opportunities, other offers before, and why Atlanta? You could have stayed in Seattle and continued to have success there. Why?
Well, I think, number one, it was the leadership challenge, that you're after. And when you go from being a position coach to a coordinator, that challenge goes from managing your own individual room, and then as you become a coordinator, then it becomes to the staff that you're with and the defensive unit. And so for me, it was that challenge that it was going to take to run an entire team in the style and the fashion that you'd like to play football. So for me, that was the real reason why I wanted to kind of take on this next challenge. When I had a chance to talk to some other clubs as it went through, this one was the best fit for me. It started with Mr. Blank and then with Thomas. He was a guy that I connected with right away, and I knew I wanted to partner with. I saw that relationship work strongly in Seattle with Pete and John, and so that's what I was looking for, somebody to partner up with to do it together. And so when I had a chance to connect with Thomas, we had a lot of mutual friends and guys that I respected in the business, but it was that partnership that made this one so unique for me. You know, we haven't come to that decision yet, but I'll certainly be involved on the defensive side of the ball. It may come to that. It may not. I haven't been down that far yet in terms of decision-making, but I'll certainly want to be involved on the defensive side, whether it's calling or, you know, be involved with the game plan.
How long do you expect the process of trying to evaluate everything you have to evaluate in terms of personnel today?
You know, I think that's the thing we're going to start tonight. And to me, that's the number one goal. Before we got into any scheme, let's find out as much as we can about these players. And that's what I'm looking forward to do and getting connected with them. So I would imagine it would take all the way through the spring as we got into practices and into OTAs and as we start to build our club together where we can learn these guys the best. And in that time, however we can feature them, that's what our goal will be.
Coach Zach Klein from Channel 2 here in Atlanta. Welcome.
And thanks, Zach.
In your opening comments, you said you're looking forward to build a similar team here that you did in Seattle in terms of championship caliber football team. You've been looking at this team from afar because your sole focus has been on Seattle. How far, in your view, is this team away from becoming a dominant force in the league?
You know, I haven't studied our own roster, as you know, just from my time in Seattle was solely focused on them. So really, it's just really more the mindset of how we can go to attack and feature the guys here. So I can't wait to get started on that process and get to know these guys as well as I can. So the process, you know, begins tonight.
Dan, Jeff Schultz, and
you win
the Constitution.
Hi, Jeff.
Nice to actually be able to ask you about that. You've waited a long time just to sit in that seat. How much different do you think it'll be as a head coach as opposed to an assistant? And what tells you that you're ready?
Well, I think it's definitely different. And fortunately for me, I've been around some terrific, you know, head coaches and mentors through my time in the NFL and in college. So like all experiences, you learn from quite a bit of them. And so I knew I'd have my own style of how we would do it if I ever had this opportunity. So over the last year is really when it became clear to me that I have a real style and vision of how I'd like to do it. And so when I had this opportunity this year, it seemed like the right time and the right fit.
Coach Mitch Evans with 92.9 The Game. You talked about challenges. What's the biggest challenge for you in your first go-around as a head coach, and then also a challenge in turning this team around?
I think really, as coaches, that's the part we love the most, you know, the challenges. And I think the biggest one for me is how fast I can get connected and learn our guys the best. And when we do that, and how close our players can get and how tight they can get, that's when we'll be at our best. So my sole goal right now is to get to know these guys the best and how tight as a group we can become. The best teams I've been a part of are the teams that are the closest. And so I'm anxious to get around these guys and get to know them.
Ken Rodriguez, Fox 5. You weren't short on talent in Seattle on the defensive side of the ball. How important is it going to be to have your kind of guy playing defense for you?
Really, my kind of guy is somebody who plays fast and physical. And that style and the attitude that we play, it's going to start with effort first. And there's some terrific guys here I can't wait to connect with. And really, playing good defensive football starts with a mindset and an attitude first. And that's where we'll start. And then there's a number of guys that are already here that are going to be a big part of it.
Coach, Stake Shapiro from 680 The Fan. One of the things that Coach Carroll did when he came in was almost a total flipping of the roster of people, you know, almost 100 transactions. Is one of your messages, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, they're open, there really no job is safe, and you're looking to make as many moves as you have to make to try to get the right people there?
Not necessarily. The biggest thing for me is how can I go and evaluate, you know, our team the best. And so I want to get connected with these guys and find out as much as we can about our own players. At every opportunity, we're going to compete. And if that means evaluating and finding players to keep tweaking to get everything just right, that's what we'll continue to do. But the first part of business is getting to know our own team.
Hi, Jay Rosenberg, Portland. Can you talk about the opportunity to come in and work with a quarterback like Matt Ryan?
I know, I'm so fortunate in that way. You know, at that position, it's such a unique one in our league. And so you know, to get partnered up with somebody as accomplished as Matt and all the things from the intangibles he brings not only to the position but to the entire team. I can't wait to get connected with him. You know, each year is different, and the challenges are different. So for us, the biggest thing is, instead of looking too far ahead, is how good can we get right now? How good can our OTAs get? How good can this offseason be? We're going to try and have the best offseason we've ever had for each individual player. So that's my sole focus right now, is how good can we get now? And that'll be all the way through the offseason, into OTAs, and then to have the best training camp we've ever had. And then from there, we'll let it go. But we won't reach too far out ahead. Let's really stay focused on what's important, and that's right now, how good can each of our individual guys get this offseason, have the best offseason they've ever had.
Clear. What is your offensive philosophy going to be like?
Really, the number one thing and for me is balance, you know, for a team that's able to have run and pass. That's the hardest to go against. And I've always, you know, admired teams that have tough physical styles that, you know, can emphasize the zone run game and then ways to attack vertically in the pass game. So for me, the number one criteria is going to be balance and different ways to attack. And that's why it's been so important for me to have this understanding of how we could do it with all the pieces here. It's going to be a terrific fit. I'll kind of do the questions in reverse. For sacks, the biggest thing for us is affecting the quarterback, and that may be the hits on him, the times we can move him off the spot. The third down sacks are critical ones because that's getting off the field. But for us, the biggest thing is going to be affecting the quarterback. It may be by the way we rush, maybe by the way we pressure, maybe by the way we cover, or a combination of all of those. But affecting him is the number one thing. Versatility is going to be a really big component of our guys who play linebacker and play defensive line. That versatility to play more than one spot allows you the flexibility to add pass rushers to your team. And also, when injuries occur, which are going to happen in this game, now that versatility allows you to play guys at different spots where when a guy goes down, the next guy's up has already played that position. So we'll start the versatility, and the more guys can do, we'd rather start that way early as to say, let's find out what he can do, keep giving him more. If they can handle it, now we know we have a guy who's got that versatility.
Danny, you used the word fast maybe about five times. I know reading is part of it, but is it more about reacting to the football, take it down to the ground?
I think when we play our fastest, you're really freed mentally. And by that, what I'm saying is we don't give the guys so much that they're not able to play right at their very best. Here's the tip, here's the alert, here's the key, and let's go get it. The best defensive teams I've played on have had that component. So by playing fast might not necessarily mean we have faster players. It's the style and attitude of how we play. And by us not overloading them, now we're allowing them to do what they do best.
Where are you with your staff? Can you talk about the coordinators that you're bringing?
Sure. Right, and as we get through this starting today, Richard Smith is going to be the defensive coordinator, and an important guy for us is going to be Raheem Morris. And Ra will also be involved as the pass game coordinator. He'll be an important part of what we do. So Richard and Raheem will work closely together on the defensive side, and I'll certainly be involved in that way as well. Fortunately for me, I was able to get connected with Kyle Shanahan, and the way he can attack on offense, he's one of the hardest guys to coach against from a defensive standpoint. So whenever you're on the defensive side and you're looking at the other guys, in the back of your mind you say, okay, what is the system? What are the people that are so unique that's so hard to go against? And Kyle was always somebody that I thought of in that way. We talked about, you know, partnering up maybe a year ago, and so when the opportunity came for he and I to connect this year, it was really important. And then Keith Armstrong, who you guys know here, is a terrific coach. And when I was able to be fortunate enough to be a part of the staff at Miami when he was there, so I had direct knowledge of how good he was. So for me to have the ability to hire somebody like Keith was critical for me. So those four guys in specific will be, you know, in terms of the coordinator roles and the leadership positions here with us. And I know there's a press release that'll, you know, talk about some of the other staff assistants as we go. But today I wanted to make the focus really about just those three, and then we can talk about the team.
The way the organization is now structured, you answer directly to the owner. Do you like that? And how do you anticipate that is different in terms of what you have seen as an assistant throughout the National Football League?
Well, I think, number one, it makes it easy in terms of where to go, in terms of where you report. But the guy who I'm connected with the most and looking forward to partner up with is Thomas in this deal. And our collaboration together and how we see things and how we see football really got in line early in our meeting. And so for me, finding a guy with his experience and knowledge and passion for football was so important for me. I can't wait to get started with him.
Dan Dinkarcher, Atlanta Falcon Radio Network. You've made a great name for yourself in this league as a D-line coach. And Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett, a number of guys have sung your praises. Is that an area that you'll really have your hands on as you move forward into this season?
I think so. That, you know, when I watched – I've coached that position for so long, it's really, you know, where my eyes have gone to first. So if I can lend expertise in that area, I certainly will. I know to be good in this league, you have to be good on both sides of the line of scrimmage, and I wholeheartedly believe in that. So that'll be a real focus for us. I think the toughness of your team is the ability to run the ball and finish games, and then on the defensive side, for the ability for those guys to rush and affect the quarterback. When you have those two things in line, you usually have a pretty good chance of how you'll play.
Coach Dan Matthews, Score Atlanta. A lot of players have talked about relationships that you've built with them, and, you know, like Dave just said, singing their praises. Do you feel like that's a real strength for you as a coach to be able to build relationships with guys that sometimes you have to give bad news or give them good news?
Right. I know it's one of the things I love most about coaching is being connected with these players. And there's all sorts of guys, and we reach them differently. Some guys you have to put your arm around and tell them what the good job they did, and other guys you have to find other ways to motivate them. So for me, that job is one that I cherish, knowing that I can have an effect on how a guy can improve and develop. And our whole staff, we're going to be a developmental staff. And our real goal in that is how far can we take each player? And that's our goal from the guys that we bring into training camp. How well can we learn them? How far can we push them? And see how good each guy can get. And so as we go through the whole team and each guy that we bring here, that's going to be our real goal of how good every player we can get. And that's a lot for the staff to get to know these guys and find out what makes them tick. And that relationship is one that we really cherish. And through the guys, through the years, there's been a number of guys who've had a huge impact on me through my years at San Francisco, whether it was Bryant Young or in Miami with Jason Taylor or the Jets or, you know, so many of the guys I've been connected with in Seattle that have had a huge impact on me as well. So, yeah, that's one of the parts of the job I love the most.
Coach, obviously your offensive coordinator is going to call your plays.
Yes.
In terms of your responsibility, looking towards the Super Bowl that just passed, what's the ultimate onus on a play call that comes in at the end there? Do you think it's take the call that your coordinator makes, or do you feel in your scenario you have to be the one to overrule or clear? Or talk about how that game ended in terms of how you see
it. Sure. It was a terrific game that went right to the end, and just a complete battle all the way, you know, to the very end. So like most things, there's a plan that goes all the way through, and you talk about all the situations and scenarios that come up, and like will be in all matters, it'll be a collaborative process. And but I would certainly defer, you know, to the coach in that way in terms of who the play caller is for the best call at hand. It'll be something I'll be involved with. Let's talk about a lot of those situations before they come up.
But do you see ultimately, does that fall on the head coach or the coordinator, the ultimate call that comes in?
It ultimately comes down through the head coach. And then, you know, from there, it's his decision whether to say, hey, let's change that or keep that. So without a doubt, it comes down through from the top first. I think really accountability is one of the things that we want to talk about first. And the messaging for our team as we go all the way through the process will be one of competition first and just finding a competitive edge in all that we do. And so when it starts with that style first and the effort and the toughness and the ability to finish that comes through, we'll have real style about how we'll play. So I can't wait to connect with these guys. I wish the offseason was pushed up that we could start even sooner.
Dan, David Wilkinson with 11 Alive. You obviously know the challenges that await you with this defense, and I know you haven't had time to evaluate everything, but in your discussions with the front office, does it seem like it is a personnel issue or maybe more of a schematic issue?
You know what, I can't wait to get started with these guys. So for me, I haven't evaluated, you know, the players and the scheme in that way. But we have a real style and attitude of how we play. You know, for us, it's going to still come back to effort first and then our ability to go after the football. Those will be something that's at the forefront of our conversations. And I can't wait to get started on the personnel side tonight. The scheme will be some things that can feature our players here best. And that'll be a big part of what we did in Seattle. But most importantly, the better we get to know these guys and how to feature them, that'll be what we'll do.
AtlantaFalcons.com. Congratulations. Can you just describe for fans what the last 48 hours has been for?
It's been an absolute blast, you know, from the last 40 hours to get a chance to compete for a championship. And this game is as fun as it gets. And playing in that game, although the ending, you know, was as difficult and hard as it could be. I knew the next day I was going to have the opportunity of a lifetime waiting for me here in Atlanta. And so although my focus had been on Seattle that entire month, I knew maybe at the end of the week here this opportunity would start, and I couldn't be more excited, more fired up to be here with you guys today as it kicks off.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.